This is episode 435, dated Friday, October 24th, 2025.
You are listening to the In Perspective weekly podcast with Bob Branco and Peter O'Toole.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to In Perspective. My name is Bob Branco. Great to be with all of you today. This is episode 435. Dated Friday, October 24th, 2025. Filling in for Peter O'Toole while he's on his cruise, we're very pleased to have as our co-host, Mr. Scott Thornhill. Scott, thank you very much for filling in for Peter today. It's much appreciated. Welcome.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate the invitation.
All right, Scott. Well, we're very glad to have you. What is the weather like out there where you are?
Here where I am in North Carolina currently, it's very nice. Nice fall, late afternoon, getting a little chilly, you know, be good for high school football tonight. So it's great, great weather and, you know, kind of clear and crisp.
Yep. We're partly sunny here in southern New England, seasonably cool temperatures about 60.
Nice.
Before we continue, let me thank those people who make it possible for In Perspective to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our editor and producer. Thank you for what you do. Also, the media sources. Thank you very much. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our programs on my website. For those of you who would like to check out a lot of the archived programs of In Perspective, just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to In Perspective Podcasts. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs. From latest to earliest, and of course, when Peter is here, he will say at this time, merci, Jackie. Speaking of Peter, there's another Peter that I would like to acknowledge, Peter from Canada. He has a chat line where he posts In Perspective podcasts, so I would like to take this opportunity to thank him for his service as well. Today, we are very pleased to have, before I introduce our guest, let me acknowledge Herbie, who is our facilitator for today's program, along with Brad, who is our streamer. And because we are being streamed live, let me give out my email address. It is bobbranco93@gmail.com. bobbranco93@gmail.com. And the reason I do that is to entice listeners to our program to comment on our show. Give us your thoughts, because we do our show for our listeners. So we want to make sure that they are always happy with what we provide. We're very pleased to have with us today Keisha Mason. Keisha wrote a book called Short Stories, and I'm sure Keisha will elaborate on that further as we progress here. Keisha, welcome to In Perspective. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Short Stories, that's a general title, obviously. Could you specify a little bit further what kind of stories they are and how they evolved and what gave you the concept of writing the book?
Well, actually, originally, I had not intended for them to be in one book, but I was inspired by somebody that told me to write the stories and, or to have like a lot of the stories that some of the stories that I've written and put them, you know, in a book and maybe try and get it published and everything. And, there's, I think about four in there in the collection. And I guess they're mostly sort of like sci-fi fantasy type. One is I suppose it could be considered historical fiction, but what was the other part of your question?
Just what prompted you to write short stories? Well, I'll even add to the question. Are you a science fiction guru, for example?
Well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I like science fiction stories, but this is actually the first book I've written, you know? But my idea for each story was sort of different, even though in the introduction, they're all sort of connected in that they're all relating to things that are common to people, like thing for people that people have common, the experience that people have, like, for instance, the idea for, do you want me to go into specifically or?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, like the idea for the story about, it was the secret of Herb and Melvy. Now that story, it came about because I thought, because, you know, you always think, what if this happened? What if, you know, and it's, and I thought, well, what if people could, you know, obviously can't be in two places at one time. But, if you had a, like a substitute identical of yourself, then maybe, you know, you could, but then I thought it'd be interesting if maybe something went wrong or something like that. And I, that's what came up. That's what I, how I came up with the idea for that one.
Okay.
Double Trouble, I mean.
Exactly. So how many short stories are in the book altogether?
Four.
Four. Oh, okay. You only have four short stories in the entire book.
Right. Yeah. It's really short.
Okay. Is the book available on any of the sites such as Bard, Bookshare? I'm thinking about people who depend on audio.
I believe it's on Bookshare. I think they might have fixed it because originally when I requested Bookshare, it was in a format that didn't seem to be accessible. At least I couldn't, but I believe it is on Bookshare. I'm hoping to get it on Bard, but it is also on Audible now as well.
Another source that I was thinking about too is Kindle.
And Kindle, yes, it's on Kindle.
Yeah, that's another one. Okay, let me defer to Scott in case he has any questions for you. Yeah, I'll probably think of more later on.
That's great. Thank you, Bob. So Keisha, I'm curious about a couple of things. So you mentioned Herb and Melvy and the story there. I am just thinking through. So you've got Graham, you've got Herb, you've got Ashley and then a mother, I believe, who's anxiously awaiting some news, which I think might be the historical fiction one, a potential one you're talking about. And so I am just curious, was there something in your own life or something that either you've experienced or that you see yourself in, you know, Graham or Herb or Ashley or the mother, you know, or any of the other characters, or is just imagination that had this come about?
Well, yes. And like, for instance, in Letter to Self, the one with Ashley, that is actually a story that is sort of kind of reflects myself because I was kind of like Ashley was when I was a teenager and didn't always, you know, practice and things like that. But I was thinking, you know, what would have motivated me and, or, you know, maybe to practice more. And of course, that's kind of where the sci-fi part came in, you know, like, what if my older self was warning me, you know, to do that. So, that, for instance, that was one.
Now I'm curious on that one. I have to ask, what was it you would have practiced more?
Oh, well, I started learning piano. I would have practiced that more.
Okay. Interesting.
I took piano also, Keisha. I attended Perkins School for the Blind, and from 1970 through 77, well, through June of 77, I took piano, and I got to learn a lot of Beethoven's pieces, other related pieces. I haven't played much since then, but I did get a great opportunity at the school to really get into piano.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And I know you said you didn't expect, necessarily to have a book or, you know, you've been doing some writing and you were encouraged to get a book out there. Would you think of either expanding on these short stories or in writing additional books?
Yes. I have been writing some more and I'm hoping to maybe get another book of either short stories or I don't know. I haven't really tried novel writing, but maybe considering that as well.
There's something about the short stories that intrigues you. Like, does it allow you to, I think about this when I listen to a book. I use Audible so much of the time listening to books. But do you think of, for example, does a short story allow you to sort of wrap it up neatly in your mind or in terms of how you do it, and longer novel would mean more character development, that kind of thing. What do you see as the difference there?
Yeah, maybe that would be more character development and scene description, things like that. But I think, I mean, I've liked short stories. Some people don't like, but really like short stories with being too short, but I've always liked to, you know, read short stories in between other things, you know, other books maybe I've been read or something like that.
Yeah.
So I like writing things.
Well, if I'm correct, I understand you're in Colorado, right? Is it your home, Colorado?
Colorado, yes.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit about you? Just kind of what got you to this point? What led you to kind of go down the road of writing something, and not just writing it, but literally taking those steps that I know it takes to get it on these various sources that are out there for distribution?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, even though I've really always liked to write thing, you know, since I was younger, I didn't really publish anything really, but, I'm a customer service representative in a call center, and
that's a great job.
Yeah, and I figured, you know, and I've done it for about 8 years now, and I figured, well, maybe my writing, well, maybe writing something will then something will come of that, you know, and wanted to try it anyways, and so. And let's see.
Now maybe each person you talk to on the phone, you can make up stories as you're talking to them. Think of.
Maybe. I'm trying to think of what else would be interesting about me to tell you.
Well, what do you like to do in Colorado? I got to tell you, there's so much. I hear people live in Colorado, right? There's all kinds of the snow activities, the hiking and climbing and all that stuff, which for me would be totally out of my comfort zone. But, what kind of things, what kind of other things interest you besides writing?
I have been skiing before, but I don't ski very much. I've been rock climbing and, yeah, things like that.
Are you into other sports at all?
A little tandem cycling. I don't know.
That's very common. I remember being involved with tandem biking, I went down the Cape one time, and I was on a bike with a sighted person. The sighted person had one seat. I had another seat, and we pedaled along down a pathway. And I know that's pretty much what tandem biking is all about.
Yeah, it's nice. Other than that, not really too much other sports.
Was it difficult for you, Keisha? Was it difficult for you to become employed? I'm asking that as a general question because us blind folks, we know what it's all about. Some of us have it a little easier than others, but I think the general feeling is that we have to work a little harder than sighted people to get jobs.
Yeah, it did take a while because it took a while for me to get employed. Actually, I'd been doing other things with the vocational rehabilitation agency here, and I had other goals that didn't work out. And until finally, when I was 31 years old, I got my first job here at the call center. And so, yeah, it took a while because, for a while I thought I was going to go be a Braille transcriber and proofreader, and that didn't work out. And so, yeah, just different things just didn't pan out, but I finally was able to get the job at the call center.
By the way, if I may, I want to make a comment since you brought up Braille transcription. I really have a problem with UEB. I wish it would go away.
Oh, yeah.
We were used to regular Braille for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden UEB took over, and the optics of it is not good. I'm sorry. The optics. You know, you have a title where only the first word is double caps and there are no more caps on the title. I mean, it's just weird looking, or I should say weird feeling. It really is. I know some people like it, and I respect that very much. I just have a major problem.
Well, and I don't know if this is a UEB thing, but is it? I've noticed that the word U.S., like as in the abbreviation for United States, is just double capital sign and then a U. Is that a UEB thing, or is that just how people do it right now?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't seen U.S. I don't remember U.S. being written that way in UEB. I'm assuming the S should be there. But it's just, you know, and the thing is, we have to get used to it because everything that we ask for, like sports schedules or phone bills or cable bills or whatever you need correspondence in Braille for, it's all UEB now, so we have to accept it for what it is.
Yeah, well, I have mixed feelings about it.
Well, I've decided that I'm going to continue to correspond in Braille the old-fashioned way, no matter what.
I love it, Bill. So that brings up an interesting point, Keisha. I'm interested to hear what you think. You know, just where things are today with the different types of communication and the way that we can consume, you know, information and all of those things. You'd mentioned Audible, as well as, of course, you know, Kindle, Bookshare, Bard, different pieces. You yourself, are you, I guess I would say, you know, are you a really avid reader? Do you like to listen to audiobooks, for example, as opposed to, Braille or other elements, or kind of how do you consume information?
Well, I actually read both. I listen to audiobooks and I read Braille books as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do both, really. I wish there were more Braille books available personally, but there seem to be more audiobooks than Braille books.
Oh, with all of today's technology at our disposal, I'm not saying Braille is being phased out. As a matter of fact, I hope it never will be, and I know it's still around. It should continue to be around for a long, long time. But with all of the new fascinating technology out there, the Victor Stream, the refreshable Braille, the Braille and Speak, and all these other gadgets that you can use, there are a lot more options for people to read.
Yeah.
You know, the digital recordings, the digital cassettes from these libraries for the talking book machines. And now I understand they've upgraded them even further.
Yeah. And I just got a new, newer talking book machine. It's really interesting.
I was talking to a blind individual recently who told me, and I thought it was fascinating. She loves to read and reads mainly Braille would be what she would read. But she was talking about the first Harry Potter book that she got, very big, Harry Potter fan. And the first Harry Potter book she got on cassette tape. I said, you got it on cassette. And she's frankly not that old. And I said, you got it on cassette tape. Like I didn't even know things would have still been, you know, I said, how many tapes did that take? Those books are big, you know.
See, the first Harry Potter book was out when, Scott, about 30 years ago?
I don't remember exactly how long it would have been, but she would have been very young.
I thought it was the mid to late 90s when Harry Potter came to
Yeah, this. And I still think, it still feels like it would have been, you know, like CD or something at that point, but I guess tape, you know, cassette tapes were just phasing out and CDs were really becoming the norm, but yeah, it was on cassette tape. And I just, it reminds me of those devices that, you know, goodness, there's been so many different avenues, but it's interesting to me just how people like to consume information. Cause so people like to get things different ways. So whether it's listening to it or using Braille or, you know, other elements, it's very interesting to me how people do that. But, so what's the future for you, Keisha? So you're continuing customer service. I know you said write the book and kind of, or do the book and kind of see what happens. Do you see yourself being a full-time author in the future? Would that be the goal?
Yeah, eventually I'd like to do that. I know there's a lot of more than I have to learn and everything, but I would like to do that eventually. Yes.
So what have you learned from writing this, what we're going to, you know, short stories is what it's titled. What have you learned from doing this and getting it through the system, so to speak? What have you learned that next time would make it easier or something you might do different?
Well, what I've learned, I think one of the things I've learned is maybe next time to focus more on a marketing plan, things like that. Mm-hmm. Also, as far as publishing, there's different types of publishing. And I definitely learned that, you know, there are different types of publishing and publishers, and or whichever route, you know, people want to choose is there's a lot out there.
There definitely is, whether it's self-publishing or general publishing or what have you. There's a lot out there.
Yeah.
So did you go to college at all, Keisha?
No, I got a Braille transcription certification, but I am thinking about doing a certificate program in entrepreneurship at a community college, perhaps.
So you would like to be an entrepreneur someday?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Excellent. I think a lot more people nowadays are into entrepreneurship more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good trend to have, a good thing to look forward to. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
So we touched on Ashley. So letter to self with Ashley. And I know you touched on Herb a little bit. Tell me about the story related to Graham. What's, tell me kind of where it, the history of that one.
Okay. Yeah. I think I kind of got them mixed up a little bit. The secret of Herb and Melvy was the one about the, you know, the TTV. But the story with Graham and that's double trouble. Yeah. And that's basically what I was talking about earlier, that, you know, I thought, well, what if you could, you know, people can't be in two places at once, but what if maybe somebody wants to take a vacation, you know, or something, and they don't want people to know. So they have sort of a replacement of themselves or something like that. It's sort of like a futuristic, world sort of, where that would be possible maybe. Yeah, the consequences of maybe if that something like that went wrong, or, you know, what would happen.
Interesting.
Is your book available on any other public platform? I mean, to purchase, such as Amazon.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on Kindle. You can, I'm trying to think of the accessible. It's on Kindle and iTunes and Google Books. And it's also, Audible. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier.
You did. Is there a website for us to check out in order to buy your book?
Yes. If you go to, www.hawsjenkins.com/capital-short, like SHORT, %20, and then capital stories. That has links to where you can purchase the book.
Hawes Jenkins. So how do you spell Hawes?
Hawes.
Okay. www.hawsjenkins.com/short%20stories.
Yes.
What's the %20? How does that fit in?
I'm not sure. The publisher, it's a publisher's web page site, I believe.
Bob, I'll also point out, I think, and Keisha, tell me if I'm wrong, I believe there's a toll-free number, an 888 number that people can call as well.
Yeah, you can call the publisher, and the number is on the website. I don't have the number.
Yeah, I think it's, I've got 888-430-7450.
Yeah.
So 888-430-7450 for Hawes and Jenkins.
I'm assuming Hawes and Jenkins are your publishers. Am I correct, Keisha?
Yes, that's correct.
Thus the name of the site. Okay, I figured that out. That's fine. Okay. Scott, unless you have any other questions, I would like to open up the program to our audience. We do have a great audience out there today.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to ask Keisha questions. So I just want to let everybody know that you're listening to In Perspective with Bob Branco and Scott Thornhill. Scott's taking Peter Altschul's place as he is on a cruise in Mexico. So our featured guest is Keisha Mason, author of short stories. And so what I would like to do at this particular time is call upon Herbie, our facilitator, to find out if we have any hands raised.
Yes, we do. Alice.
Hello, Alice. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And congratulations, Keisha. I read your book this morning from Audible, and the narrator was so good. I really appreciate, I don't know, did you pick the narrator or did your publisher select the narrator for you?
I did. I picked the narrator. I thought she was really good, did a really good job.
Oh, she did. Yes. You did a very good selection and she came through for you very well. And I enjoyed reading your stories. I thought each one was unique and I appreciated your imagination and how you wove the stories. I thought you did a beautiful job in writing those stories. And I don't know if Bob and Scott have talked over this before, but I hope that before the end of the hour, you do a short reading from your book, because from the reading that you did at a recent reader's workshop of Behind Our Eyes, I know that you read from Braille extremely well and expressively. So I hope to do that also. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Are you ready for the next hand?
Do we have another one, Herbie?
We currently have two more. All right. Sally had her hand raised and now she just lowered it.
All right. Well, we'll take the next one and go back to Sally if that's
Lisa.
Lisa, go ahead. Welcome.
Hi, Keisha. I'm just wondering how you found your publisher and whether or not you were satisfied with them.
Oh. Actually, I started looking for a number of different publishers before I found this one. And the one that I previously was going to use, I think they might have referred me to a publisher that, I guess, I don't know if it's like a, I guess they called a partner publisher. And I've heard people say that partner publishers are not, you gotta be careful. They're not all legit. But from my experience, the publisher that I found, which was, they did really well. They did everything that they, you know, that were, they agreed to. And I'm really impressed with how they designed the book and they created the cover, everything like that. I really had a great, you know, good experience, with the publisher, that publisher. So.
What is the cover of the book?
Well, the cover, it has, from what I understand visually, it has of course has the title. It has the, an old fashioned, typewriter, picture of typewriter on it, and it has like books coming out of it, and it has my picture on it. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, thanks.
No problem.
Thank you very much, Sally. I mean, not Sally, Lisa. Thank you very much, Lisa. Is Sally unmuted now, Herbie, or?
She actually left, so.
Oh, she did leave. Okay. So Keisha, I want to perhaps abide by Alice's idea for you to read a sample of one of your stories right now. Would that be okay?
Oh, sure. Give me one moment. Let me just give me 1 second to pull it up.
Okay. Keisha is going to read a sample from one of her stories so that you can get a better idea of her writing abilities and what she talked about. So, I'd like to also mention that I appreciate having the representatives from Behind Our Eyes here on the call. I recognize a lot of you and really appreciate the organization very much. I'm giving you guys a free plug. I'm part of it too, and it's great being informed of everything that's going on with the authors involved. It's really great. Keisha, are you ready yet?
And we did get some more raised hands.
All right. Well, while Keisha is looking for a passage, let's take the person now, and by then she might be able to
All right, so we've got two raised hands, and we're going to start once again with the aforementioned Sally.
All right, Sally, welcome to In Perspective.
Hi. Thanks, Bob. I actually read the first Harry Potter book on cassette, too. Keisha, I just wanted to say congratulations on your first book, and I have two questions. Have you always had stories kind of running around in your mind, and you just sat down recently to actually be a writer? And two, are there any authors that you find inspiration from?
I've always liked to write, but I mean, I've always written like stories sort of privately, really. I started like writing in like about fifth grade when we would start writing stories in class, and mm-hmm. I discovered I really liked doing that. But I think one of the, I'm inspired by a lot of, authors, like for instance, a lot of the children's, like Madeline L'Engle and,
oh yeah,
you know, and Phyllis Reynolds Naylor, authors that wrote those classic children's books, you know, Jerry Springer, mm-hmm. things like that.
Thank you.
Sure.
And good luck.
Find a passage. I don't know if it's the passage from one of the stories that I have here. But this is one from Double Trouble. She did not stop but glanced at him as she walked. Yes. You entered the information in backwards. You have to redo it. Why did redoing, Gretchen repeated monotonously. Gretchen? I don't know if you wanted me to continue, but.
Yeah, a little more. Sure.
Scott winced with concern. Please come to my office. He turned and she followed him out of the staff lounge, her lunch bag in hand. They walked quickly down a long hallway and turned into a large conference room. Scott shut the door behind Gretchen as she entered. He sighed and pointed to a chair. Gretchen stopped. Sit down, please. She stood resolutely, staring wide-eyed at him. He cleared his throat. Gretchen, sit down, he said firmly. He tapped the table and pointed to the chair again. Gretchen raised her head, and her mouth shot open. Redo. Gretchen, please, I want to know what in the world is going on with you. Are you taking drugs or something? Why are you behaving this way? He touched Gretchen's hand, and she pulled the chair out and said,
question for you. Is this scene based on a real life experience that you've either witnessed, experienced, or heard about?
No, not really. This scene in particular is not. I was sort of thinking about those old records that, you know, they would get scratched and it would just be like something repeating and repeating. That came to mind when I wrote it.
Well, I'm thinking of the actual scene, not just the words, the whole scene that you just described.
Oh, the scene? Yeah, no, I can't say that I've ever experienced anything like that in real life.
All right. Herbie, we have another hand, I believe.
Yes, we do. Leonard.
Leonard, yes. How are you? Welcome.
Or he did have his hand raised, but now he is.
Well, yeah.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. Hi, Leonard.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to ask the same question that's already been answered, but I guess I can think of another one. You've written this one book, and you've apparently have written a lot else, but for yourself. If you had to write another in another genre, what genre or genres would you choose from or try next?
I would probably write more fantasy, maybe more deeper, like, fantasy things, maybe a little bit more science fiction, but mostly probably fantasy.
So I have a question, Bob, to Scott.
Yes, go ahead, Scott.
So following up on what was just asked, I'm curious. So for me, you know, we all have our preferences on books and, you know, themes and types of books, genres that we enjoy. Tell me how you define that difference between fantasy and science fiction. Like, where does that science fiction part come in for you compared to what fantasy might be considered?
Well, to me, science fiction, of course, there's like a fine line, maybe, but yeah. Science fiction is more, I guess maybe it has more science methods and talks about, or science, you know, method, like science, like how things are happen, how actions are done using science, methods. Whereas fantasy, it seems like it has more magical elements.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. I cause my, you know, I've grown up, the age I am now, I've grown a long, hopefully grew up a long time ago, still growing up probably. But as I've thought about things that I've enjoyed, like science fiction, I always like even kind of steered away from, even as a young child, you know, I was a child of the 70s and 80s and my, you know, I was not, for example, a Star Wars fan. And my wife is amazed that a, you know, a child, a, you know, boy of the 70s, 80s, you know, was not a Star Wars. I just couldn't get into it. Loved sports, loved, you know, real, like things that I could think of as real, like they would really happen. And so my son is very much so into, you know, all kinds of stuff, science fiction, fantasy. I mean, all the Marvel and DC stuff. I mean, all those things. And so I was just curious your thoughts about sort of what that would look like for you. So that makes sense. Yeah.
All right. We have a raised hand.
All right. Who is it?
Deborah.
Hello, Keisha. Deborah.
Hello.
Congratulations to you. And I wish you a whole lot of success. I haven't gotten the book yet, but I definitely plan to get it. I do utilize Audible. And so I will make sure that I get that and read it. I am excited to read it and I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Great. And just keep up the good work. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Thank you very much, Deborah. Okay. So Keisha, you mentioned earlier that you may be doing other material moving forward, like perhaps you'll be considering a novel. I am an author myself. I don't know if I ever mentioned that to you. I have written 5 books. All of my books are nonfiction. And one of them is a sort of like an autobiography of my 8 years at Perkins. So in a sense, I've written that kind of a novel. If that helps you out, if you might want to do a biography, let's say, or an autobiography of yourself, that might be a place to start. That's only my opinion. You may have a different opinion, and that's okay. Just throwing out some ideas for you in case you are still contemplating.
Well, thank you. That is something that I will consider.
Scott, do you have any questions?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, Bob, it's a good point that you made about, you know, the biography, autobiography. It's, you know, I think oftentimes we don't necessarily believe, some people don't believe, you know, that they have, too much to share, or can I really write a book out of my life? It's very interesting as you start to examine, and you've already brought up some things, Keisha, about, you know, your own experiences, you know, talking about playing the piano when you were younger, and maybe you want to practice more, and, you know, and then with what your thoughts are around, college or being an entrepreneur and the work that you do now. I mean, I think we all have something, to share, and we can all learn from each other. So, I agree with Bob. I encourage you to think about those kind of elements. And then also, I'm very impressed that you took the step. And, you know, so many people, I'm not even exaggerating when I tell you I've been writing a book for probably 20 years, the same book for 20 years, you know. Well, I just keep, you know, I put it to the side, then I come back to it later do a little bit more. I may never do anything with it, you know, but it's almost therapeutic in some ways because I can go back and it's fascinating when you go back and you read parts of what you've written and you think how life has changed in the times, you know, and then how you might update those things. But I think it, the fact that you've persevered through what I know had to be some challenging times. And we've already asked about what you've learned and what you might do, different next time. You mentioned marketing. So I'm curious about that. When I asked you about it, you said, you know, marketing and some of those things. What do you see in that regard? Do you see that as something more that you would do or that you would want the publisher, or where do you see that? We've all kind of experienced sort of book signings and various things, but, especially with it being, you know, potentially, you know, audio being available through online sources, but then also, you know, a Braille or a regular print version. How would you see that looking different?
Well, I have to say that when this book first came, you know, was published, it was published and I had to learn about really what that meant actually, because mm-hmm. I thought originally that the marketing would mostly be done by the publisher.
Yeah.
And, that wasn't the case, and it's not, you know, it obviously marketing is at least in part, if not mostly, a lot done by the author, I would think, and at least that's what I've learned. So just, you know, getting more comfortable with that, and because I've noticed was that it was available worldwide and even in smaller bookshops in other countries and things like that when I looked online. But it can be available, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people know about it.
Yeah. So probably social media, probably some things along those lines.
And... Yeah, probably get a strong presence on social media and maybe relationships with some businesses, bookstores, things like that.
Yeah, I think
go ahead, your turn.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's interesting, you know, we hear about these and Bob, I know examples, but we hear about these, for example, you know, celebrities and, you know, political figures, whoever it might be, right? And they get these book deals, you know, it's like the publisher, right? That pays them a ton of money up front to write a book that they just assume people are going to buy. In some cases, it turns out really well and a lot of people buy the book. And in some cases, frankly, it doesn't turn out that well. And not as many people bought it as they thought they would, right? And I think for most authors, you know, goodness, it has to be 99% of authors, like that is just not how it works. That's just not that's not reality. You know, it is more about what you're talking about in terms of having to be active with that. So.
Yeah.
Of course, you can get on some radio programs throughout the country. That helps a lot of authors. I've heard authors.
Yeah.
Market their books on major radio stations all the time.
So, and Bob, you probably know, I would say it's funny when you listen to a show and anytime somebody goes on a show, I love it when I hear an author being, you know, you go on a national radio show, whatever it is. Keisha, no matter what else, when you on this show or any other show, I just encourage you, like, no matter what the question is, pretty much just mention your book and where people can get it. That's
what so we do have another raised hand.
All right, Herbie, who is it?
Alice once again.
All right, Alice, go ahead.
All right. Thank you again. And I'm just wondering, Keisha, your stories are so well constructed, and unlike some contemporary short stories, each of yours comes to a satisfying end or conclusion. And I'm wondering, do you think through your story before you ever sit down at the computer to write it out, or do you just have a kernel of an idea for the story and then write it out, develop the story as you are computing or keyboarding?
Well, I make outlines, actually. I make, like, outlines of how I start, like, I come up with an idea, and then based on the idea, first I make an outline of, you know, how the story, what happens, and in sequentially, and the ending, things like that, and then I start writing it. I know not everybody does that, but I find that that's the easiest way that I do it.
Well, thank you. I just wondered, and you do that process very well. So thank you for sharing that with us.
All right. We are approaching the 10-minute mark, and Pam has her hand raised.
Welcome, Pam.
Yeah, Zoom is being Zoomy today.
That's not uncommon.
My question is, I always like to know a little bit about how you got to where you are, like, you know, biographical information. I assume, Keisha, that you're either visually impaired or totally blind. And so my question is, how did you get to where you are now? Did you attend schools for the blind, or did you go to public school? Or if you're totally blind, have you always been that, or did you lose your sight later on?
I was born totally blind. I was premature. Is it called retinopathy or prematurity now?
Yes, I have the same thing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was premature. I was born totally blind. I was mainstreamed. I went to, public school until about, a little after high school, when I attended a transition program at a school for the deaf and blind here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, similar story to mine. Mainstreamed, and oh, I am so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Very interesting, and keep up the good work. And I hope to have time to read your book soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Keisha, on the subject.
No, this is Pam.
I'm sorry, Pam. I'm very sorry I called you out.
That's okay.
Thank you, Pam, for your contribution. Keisha, on the subject of mainstreaming, I've had many, many discussions with blind people over the years about what was better, mainstreaming or going to a private school for the blind. And there are two sides to that debate. How did you feel about mainstreaming? Was it beneficial for you? Did you get the services and the materials that you needed in that mainstreaming process?
I think in a lot of ways I did. I think what mainstreaming, it was really good for me academically. But as far as blindness skills, that might have been lacking a little bit. And I don't know if maybe I would have benefited more from that if I had gone to a school for the blind or maybe partially. But yeah, I think, as far as academics, it really gave me an advantage.
And you were in your own community, which people who wish to be mainstreamed would have that desire. They want to be in their own community. They don't want to live at a school for the blind, if they can help it, I would think. They want to be part of their own communities, raised in their own communities, surrounded by sighted people.
Well, yeah, and that's what I've always tried to understand, how blind children, like, That must be hard for blind children going away from their families and living at a blind school. School for the blind, residential school. Depending on your family, I guess. But I think for me, it would be really hard, leaving your family. So I wonder how other blind kids, have coped and cope with that.
I coped for 8 years. Did I enjoy myself there? I tried. I thought that Perkins provided a wonderful education. I'm not going to take that away from Perkins. It provided a wonderful education. I met a lot of good friends there. And those things I will always cherish. The only disappointing thing was I was away from home for 8 years. And if I could take that back, you know, and be home during my teens, I think I'd want to be at home during my teens.
Keisha, maybe that's the next book. Exploring.
We're giving you ideas.
Maybe my next book. I actually did start writing a story similar to that vein at one point. I had never finished it though.
It's very interesting. You know, here in North Carolina, there's the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind. And, I went there just for about 4 days to get some orientation, mobility and some other training. And there were small children there with little canes. And, I agree. I think it'd be challenging. So it would be interesting. I know we have a number of folks that we all know that cherish that experience and, you know, that kind of thing, but it would be interesting to hear the stories. The ones they could tell, Bob.
So we have 4 minutes and we do have another repeat hand if you want to take it real quick.
I will take it.
Lisa.
Okay, Lisa, what's happening?
Hi again. Hi. And congratulations, Keisha. And I just wanted to know if you have anyone in your life who has really encouraged you in your writing, like a teacher or friend or whatever.
I have. There's one person in particular named Brenda who's really been encouraging me to write, and she's encouraged me to get things, you know, written, published, and because, you know, she really believes in me and as a, you know, writing. And, I mean, I also have, other people in, for instance, the, Behind Our Eyes group organization. And thank you guys so much for your support. And, and I have, teachers that I have had in the past, even though a lot of them didn't encourage me directly, but indirectly how they influenced me. They were really good influences for me.
William,
anything else, Lisa?
No, thank you very much.
All right. So before we wrap it up, Keisha, just let the folks know once again how we can find and buy your book, Short Stories.
Sure. So like I said, it's on Amazon, Kindle, Audible, Barnes & Noble, Google, iTunes, Apple Books, or things like that. And also, if you go to, once again, HawesJenkins.com /short%20stories, and those short stories are capitalized, you can find links to where you can purchase it.
I'm just curious about that %20. HawesJenkins.com /short%20stories. That's where you will find Keisha Mason's book called Short Stories. Keisha, thank you very much for being with us on In Perspective. Good luck to you and with any other possible book that you might be writing in the future. Your future looks very bright, and we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank Scott Thornhill for filling in for Peter Altschul today. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure.
And I also want to thank everybody else who helped us out today with our program. Go safe with God's abundant blessings, everybody. And we'll talk soon. Take care.